Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'm going to continue my series on water quality issues with Harold Evans of Arenda Technologies. In this episode, we're going to talk about high cyanuric acid and how it affects the pool and different things that you need to be aware of if your pool does have high cyanuric acid. So you'll find this podcast very helpful if you're dealing with, again, a pool with high cyanuric acid levels. Leslie's Pool Supplies is a proud partner of the Pool Guy Podcast Show. Leslie's Pool Supplies has been do-it-yourselfers and pool trade professionals' trusted partners since 1963, providing quality products and services to make pool care easy and solutions and expertise to do it right. Let's continue the series here, and let's just address the high cyanuric acid problem that's in the industry. And we mentioned in the first podcast about the stabilized chlorine, the tablets, and the dichlor, and how basically it's just been a way of life for the pool service technician to, put a bunch of tabs in the pool. And also from the consumer end, they're just overloading their floaters and tablet feeders with tablets because that's just the way it's been done. And so what's the danger behind this high cyanuric acid that's happening? And there's been debates on it of how much it affects the pool. I'll just start by saying that from my experience, pools with very high cyanuric acid are much more difficult to maintain.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. So I'm old enough to remember kind of why the tab came around early in my career. So the purpose of the tab and its marketability to begin with was to try to accommodate a less frequent trip to the pool to service the swimming pool. Because in the early days, we're adding bleach or adding calhypo to pools, and the tab was a way of postponing a visit. So a more frequent visit became a less frequent visit and monetized the transaction as a result of it. So the advent of the tab and the stabilized chlorine came about because we were trying to minimize labor costs and frequency of trip to a pool. And so like most things that get carried away, they start out with innocent intentions and end up escalating to the thing, to place where we are now. The other reason that I think that trichlor and dichlor became more popular, I don't know how else to say this, but it had to do with the storability of chemicals in a retail environment, warehousing them, whether it's a wholesale warehouse or retail location, and the limited amounts of other products they could store based on the fire marshal. So there were some practical reasons why trichlor could be stocked in more abundance in a retail location or in a warehouse that made it easier than calhypo or bleach. So those are the two motivating factors that I think have held people onto these ideas. And of course, then manufacturers who've made a large living out of stabilized chlorine. So I think that's the preface for this discussion of what motivates things. I always like to talk about the why as much as the what. In fact, the why usually will explain the what more than anything will.
So well, it's much easier to do the put tablets in your pool versus the other forms of chlorine, I think, too.
Well, it was, yeah, led to believe it was less scientific and required understanding and all that. So come along, I think a lot of the product problems that we have today, and by the way, a very important element in the LSI is cyanuric acid. And the way that we know this is, as I said in your earlier podcast, you can't have high stabilizer levels in electronically monitored ORP system pools because they are electronically measuring the speed of kill. Oxidation reduction potential, or ORP, is a lot of the more sophisticated commercial pools in this country are monitored And by the way, I think more residential pools should be ORP controlled. My pool is. It's just old thinking that we're not using more ORP systems. And I think in the future, I equate ORP to a smoke detector in a home. We have thumbnailed or penciled in our ear approach to water chemistry. And if you think about an ORP system, it's like a smoke detector for your pool. If your ORP is low, that means that the potential for your pool to not be clear, to not be safe, is it's a smoke detector going off that you need to look at something. Is the probe dirty? Is the water not conductive? And if it's not, then figure out why. So the future pool today will have an ORP system on it sooner than people might think. We have a great number of pools in our service business that are electronically controlled. And let me just help the service industry comprehend something about that. An ORP system is not going to take your job away as a service person. It's going to enhance your job. Because when people know their water is safer, and in the times we're in today, what could be more important than water safety? So an ORP system is on your phone. It allows you to know how safe your water is at the moment. And cyanuric acid has a huge impact on the conductivity of water and whether water is safer. Some might argue one side or the other, depending on their bias. Like I said in the earlier podcast, I tend to lean in the direction of people like the CDC and not some manufacturer with a bias trying to talk around issues that exist. So let's do quick math. The average 1 pound of trichlor or dichlor, virtually the same level, 6 to 7 parts per million of cyanurics left behind with every pound of chlorine that's put in the pool. So it doesn't take very long to do the math. We know that at 50 parts per million of cyanuric acid, ORP begins to fail. And ultimately by 100, it's whacked out. So the CDC fought for lower levels of cyanuric, and the lobbies in the industry fought it the other direction, and there's still a controversy around that. But increasingly, what we've realized is cyanuric acid affects what the ultimate free available chlorine in the pool is, and that's what's killing disease and keeping people healthy. So I won't try to muddle into this political part of that much. I don't have a lot of patience with it, quite frankly. If my rule is a simple rule, my advice in a swimming pool has to do with the health of my grandkids. If it's good for my grandkids, it's good for my consumers, and it's good for people. And if it's not good for my grandkids, in my view, then I don't want to do it. And so my pool, if I look at my pool on my phone today, my pool has a very safe LSI. It has a high conductivity of 650, I believe, is the minimum for healthy water and measurement, and it's north of 650. It's clear, and it's unaggressive because the LSI tells me that. And it has less than 20 parts per million cyanuric. So when we look at cyanuric acid, it's important to look at some of the mechanisms that scientifically talk about that. So in some of the presentations that we do as a company, one of the things that we point out, and I'm going to scroll to this as we're looking at it, is what is the actual impact of the chlorine staying power in the pool? So cyanuric acid is implied as a protecting mechanism for chlorine, which is true. But the interesting thing about it is when you look at accumulating levels, and this is a CDC document that I'm looking at, if you look at the axis of the left on this chart, it says the chlorine remaining in the pool, and it's a percentage from 0 to 100. And the axis to the right is the parts per million of cyanuric. So isn't it interesting that at 30 parts per million of cyanuric acid, 98% of the chlorine is protected in that pool. So why in creation would we elevate the cyanuric acid level in a pool beyond that when the benefit is essentially negligible? And I think a part of that is just a misunderstanding of what it does. You can't get a suntan sitting in the shade. And so if you're going to take chlorine and protect it to preserve economically its use, then it's not going to be available to kill as quick as you want it to. It's very simple. And so what we want is we want the practicality of economics to not waste chlorine, but at the same time, not over-treat the pool with something that's just a byproduct of a manufacturing process, plain and simple. And so why would anyone in their right mind, and by the way, at 20 parts, at 95%. So between 20 and 30, and this is the rough math, 10 parts cyanuric protects one part chlorine, okay? So the next question is, how much chlorine do you need in the pool to keep algae out of there? Well, there's a lot of things that controls. Oxidant demand, metals in the water, as we talked about earlier, and the best way to learn more about that is to go to our Four Pillars online university and watch the videos and learn for yourself. But at the end of the day, the cutoff point for the effective nature of cyanuric is at about 25%. So 25 parts per million, I'm sorry, not 25%, but at 25 parts per million, the cutoff of benefit of protection goes out the window. Mm-hmm. And the need to preserve means that the chlorine's tied up unnecessarily and can't act quick enough.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think that's why a lot of times you'll see pools with high cyanuric acid, you'll have algae that is really hard to get rid of.
Well, let me just say this. Back to the CDC. Mm-hmm. If you look at the documents from the CDC about fecal events and these dangerous conditions that can happen in recreational water, if your pool has more than 15 parts per million cyanuric, it is recommended that that pool be drained down and refilled to the level of 15 parts per million before you act on this event. So whether you agree or disagree or you have some philosophical disagreement about this, unless you intend to take on the Center for Disease Control about affecting disease, I'd suggest you follow the rule. And if that number is 15 parts, that means 1.5 parts per million chlorine is protected in the first place. Mm-hmm. So you can't make an economic case for saving money at the expense of public health. And that's really all this is, in my opinion. It's nothing more than habit defense and protecting the thought process here. No one needs to protect more than a part and a half of chlorine in a swimming pool. So why in creation, other than the habit of manufacturing or the habit of teaching of the past, would we encourage this? Well, it's because people don't want to store the other available chlorines that are more complicated, tougher to handle, perhaps, I don't know, and the ease of use of a tablet. And if you're going to use trichlor tablets, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't at all, I'm just saying that if you're going to use trichlor, you got to drain your pool more often. Mm-hmm. You have to displace more water, plain and simple, hard backwashes or drains. It's that simple. And then you can continue. And in my son's case, in his business, he's using trichlor in a lot of cases, but they're just hard backwashing those pools where they keep those levels down. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing wrong with using trichlor at all. Just like if you use bleach, you're going to have the accumulation of salt in the pool. 30 parts per million salts left behind with every gallon of bleach. And salt can be as big a problem over time with waste removal as anything is. So salt pools have 3,000 parts plus per million of salt in the water. So getting rid of those waters can be challenging. You certainly can't take water that's salt rich and pour it all over your back with a blue hose and pour that backwash water as it's required in Austin, Texas. You can't backwash into the sewer. You have to backwash under your lot. So if you took salt rich water and laid it all on the grass of your backyard, that would defoliate your backyard in a year. So salt has its problems too, not to mm-hmm. beat up on cyanuric by yeah. itself. Every product that we use has an unintended consequence that should be recognized. And so the whole idea of cyanuric acid is keep the levels down, protect the water, understand you may use more chlorine than you think you're going to. But here's the other thing that's an interesting fact about pH management in a swimming pool. When we look at pH, we're always teaching the industry to keep a lower pH because it makes our chlorine more efficient. When you put cyanuric acid in a pool, that pH efficiency goes out the window. Because the cyanuric has the chlorine tied up in the cyanuric acid, the pH has little to do with that efficiency. And over time, I believe this whole idea of lower pH is going to begin to change in our industry, because the efficacy of chlorine is more dramatically impacted, in my opinion, in the presence of cyanuric acid than it is concerning yourself with pH.
So I hope you found this interview interesting and the aspects of high cyanuric acid in the pool. I think if you're dealing with the problem pool, the cyanuric acid level definitely is a major factor in the problems you're having maintaining good water quality. So I hope you can join us for the next episode where I talk to Harold about the LSI index, and then we're going to cover scaling and metal staining in a pool in the final podcast in this series. And if you want to get the links for the other podcasts in the series, of course, by subscribing to the podcast, you'll get the links automatically in your email. But if you haven't subscribed yet, you can definitely go to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and go to the podcast icon on the homepage, and you can pull up the podcast there. You can also find out more about the Arenda products, their app, all the things that Harold talked about here at arendatech.com, which is their website. You can download the free app. It's the dosage app, and it also will give you the LSI of the pool. We'll talk about that more in the next episode. And I think you will find, by listening to all these podcasts together on water quality issues and the Arenda product and the Arenda methodology, you're going to find that maintaining pools and maintaining your own pool is going to be much easier done correctly. So again, you can learn more about Arenda's products, product line, and their training and education at arendatech.com. And if you're doing pools and you're starting out, or if you've been in the industry for a while and you want to enhance your business, definitely check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. And it's more of a one-on-one program there where you can text me and call me. And you're also invited to a group app where Harold's also a part of the group app here. I'm in the coaching program, so I definitely highly recommend joining the coaching program. It starts out at $10 a month, and with that, you also get a discount on your general liability insurance that will basically cover the monthly fee for the coaching program. Again, you can learn more about that at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.